Hello, and welcome to the Covenant Fellowship Podcast. We are so glad you've joined us. Today's message is here to help you preach the good news everywhere in your day-to-day life. Here at Covenant Fellowship, we accomplish this by encountering God, loving people, and serving others with everything we've got. Now let's dive in.
Good morning. What a privilege it is for me to be here today. And part of what I get to do today, which I don't do at a lot of churches, but is to honor some very well-deserving youth leaders. When we arrived in Virginia in August, one of the things that we began right off the bat was doing a youth leader training through our denomination, which is our youth ministry certification program. And your church had the most people go through that of any church in Virginia. They even stepped it up a notch because I was booked to be here this Sunday. They had to get their work done a month early so that we could honor them when I was here. And so they jumped on board and got all of their work done. It took a lot. It is not easy to go through our youth ministry certification program. It is a book a month, and they have to write reports on those books. They have to actually, probably the worst part of it, is sitting with me for an hour a month on Zoom. But we had a great time the past 5 months, and so as I call your name, would you please come and receive your certificate of completion for the Youth Ministry Certification Program, Level 1, and this is from Cleveland, Tennessee. All right? So the first out of the gate is Scott Emmerine. The next one is Chance Inscore. And we have Amy Inscore. And we're going to use both first names here on this one. Henry Matthew Fields.
Does everybody else know about Henry? They do now.
And Jessica Rice. And our final one, and I don't believe that she's here, but we'll make sure she gets it, and that is Rachel Gibson. Congratulations, you guys earned that. That is not something to be taken lightly. And so thank you for having a passion to see young people make decisions to follow Christ and to live for Him. And so I want to start off today by reading a scripture. It's always good to do that. Second Kings chapter 2, starting with verse 23. And Elisha left Jericho and went up to Bethel. And as he was walking along the road, a group of boys from the town began mocking and making fun of him. "Go away, Baldy. Go away." Elisha turned around and looked at them, and he cursed them in the name of the Lord. Then two bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of them. From there, Elisha went to Mount Carmel and finally returned to Samaria. That has nothing to do with the message today. I just thought it was important that you understood who was standing before you. Don't make fun of the bald guy. It's biblical. All right? One of the things that I get to do, probably my most favorite thing that I get to do as the State Youth and Discipleship Director, is to lead youth camp. You're sending students to youth camp. We want to say thank you for that. We also want to ask you that if there is anyone in your church that can't afford to come to youth camp, please make a way for them to get there. Youth camp is a place where lives are changed. It's where young people get saved. It's where they get filled with the Holy Ghost. It's where they receive their calling into ministry. It also is a place where, yes, they can even find their future spouse. It happens. Our oldest daughter met this ugly redheaded kid at youth camp. If you have a daughter, you know that any boy that shows any interest towards your daughter is ugly. That's just the way that it is. All right? And I'm amazed that they can actually, that someone so ugly and someone so beautiful can connect in such a way that they can make the most amazing grandson that you've ever seen. And I think we have a picture of them. Our grandson's name is Ollie. I have the privilege today of having my wife and our youngest daughter, Ella, travel with us, as well as our intern, Grace. Youth camp is important to all of us. It has been life-changing for us. So when you leave the sanctuary today, as you turn to the left, there is a little booth set up there with some flyers. If you need more information about youth camp, it's happening in less than a month, but you can still get in on that. And so thank you for investing in your young people. Additionally, we are beginning something this year from the state office that's never been done in Virginia. And I would just ask that you would pray for us on this. But for the past 8 years, I've been a youth director in states that don't have a campground. We have a campground in Virginia, which means you have a campground. It's in a little town, you might have heard of it. It's Roanoke. I told my wife, I said, you know, one day when we get to a state that has a campground, I want to do something special. And so in August, when we received our appointment here, the first thing that I did was I went to the youth board and I said, hey, I want to do this. So what we are doing is on June 30th, we're doing a special one-day camp for students with special needs. One of the things that happens at youth camp is that it creates an atmosphere sometimes where students that might be on the autism spectrum or they might have physical limitations, they're not able to experience camp in the way that a lot of other students are able to. But we understand the importance of youth camp. So we wanted to do a one-day camp that has elements of youth camp in it for students that can they can experience it in the way that they're most comfortable doing. So we're going to have a low sensory room if they need to go into that area where we're going to minister to them. We're going to have lots of different things for them to do. The swimming pool is going to be open. So if they can swim, we want them to swim. The slip and slide is going to be out, okay? Another thing that's going to be really cool is that every student that comes on that day gets a free camp t-shirt. Because if you don't know about camp, it's not camp unless you get a t-shirt. That's the deal. Okay? So they get a free t-shirt with that. And all of our volunteers, we've got several volunteers, a bunch of volunteers actually, that are coming to help us with this. We're actually creating a lounge as well for parents that bring their students. And if they trust us with their kids and allow us to take them around the campground, we're giving them a time to rest. If you are a parent with students with a child with special needs, you know that sometimes it can be exhausting. And it's hard to have that moment, those times, just to catch your breath. So we're creating a lounge where we're going to have snacks for them and drinks for them, and just a time for us to minister to the parents of students with special needs as well. There's a meal that's included that day as well. And we understand that sometimes students have food issues. One of the things that we notice, though, is that everybody likes chicken nuggets. So no matter what we have there, we're also going to have chicken nuggets, okay? All right? And so would you just help us pray, pray for that day? Here's the best part about it. It's absolutely free. We're not charging anybody anything for that day. And we've had a church that has stepped alongside of us, and they have given us money to be able to pay for all those students and their parents to come to that day for free. So help us pray for that. We're calling that an extraordinary day. And all right. Before I get into the message, can I just admonish your pastors? Pastor and Sister Booker are amazing. They deserve a round of applause. Not only are they amazing, I've been hearing about you since August. And they've been bragging on you, and he said, we're going to have you. We're going to have you come, and we're going to have you speak on a Sunday. And he says, I can't wait for you to meet our people. And not only are you amazing, not only have we connected with several of you, but the pastoral staff is unbelievable. They are top notch. And so you guys are great. You guys have a great team, and you are a great congregation. And I'm going to need you to be great just a little bit longer as we get into the Word. Can we do that? All right. So let's just go to the Lord in prayer. God, we thank you and we love you and we honor you today. God, I just ask that your sweet presence would continue to flow through this room. God, you are doing something amazing here today. And I thank you that I get to be a part of that. Help me to be the servant that you've called me to be the proper mouthpiece for the next few moments. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I don't know if there's anybody in the room that's like me, but I like to watch a lot of TV. Probably more than I should. And one of my favorite things that I'd like to watch are shows that deal with people with antiques. Has anybody ever seen Antique Roadshow? Okay. Some of you are like, you don't look old enough to watch Antique Roadshow. And for that, I say thank you. All right? But here's the thing about Antique Roadshow. I was really okay with Antique Roadshow until I watched an episode where somebody brought something out that I had when I was a kid. And then I was like, whoa, hold on just a second here, okay? Because up until that point, it was people that were a lot older than me bringing stuff that was a lot older than I was. But the moment that they brought out, you know what it was that I saw? Somebody actually brought out Pokemon cards. And we're not going into where that's right or wrong. I'm just telling you what they brought out, so calm down, all right? But they brought out these cards, and I was like, we had those when I was growing up. How is this an antique now? Another thing that we like to do a lot of times is we like to go antiquing. We like to go to those places that people rent out the booths, and they put all of their junk there. Does anybody else like to do that? I go because I want to find that one thing that they put there by mistake that is worth much more than what they've tagged it for. That's the goal right there, okay? All right? But another thing that I like to watch, another show that I really enjoy watching, is it's this show with these two guys named Mike and Frank. Do you guys remember, you know this show? It's called American Pickers. Has anybody ever seen American Pickers? Okay, Mike's still there. Frank's not around anymore, okay? He's still alive, but that kind of went morbid there for a minute. But really the concept, if you've never seen the show, the concept goes like this. There's two people from the show that travel in this box truck all across the United States, and they're looking for items. They call it rusty gold. And they're looking for items in people's garages, in people's sheds, in people's houses, in their old storefronts. They're looking for these items like I'm looking at all of these antique booths, okay? And so one of the things about the shows, it's probably one of the saddest things about the show, is a lot of times you'll have someone that has passed away and their kids have inherited their property. And so they go into this garage and they find all of this junk that's there. And they call the guys or the people from American Pickers and they're like, we need you to come through here and look through this stuff and tell us if we have anything of value. Now, what's sad about that is when you see these kids who have no idea of the value of the stuff that they have inherited. Now, if you've been in church a long time, you probably know where I'm going with this. Because if we're not careful as a church, our churches are going to be the same way. See, what happens is that our young people don't understand the value of the faith that they have inherited. They don't understand that they can lay hands on the sick and they recover. They don't understand that they can actually pray for a dead person and they be raised to life. What? You mean we can actually do that? Well, the Word of God tells us that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this book right here tells me that people used to pray for people that were dead and they would be raised to life. And so if he did it back then, couldn't he do it now? And here's the thing is that he wants to use us to do it. But if God's never changed, then something else has. And sometimes it is our walk. Our walk has been affected. We don't realize, we don't understand that we have the ability to do these amazing things. We have the ability to pray for people to get saved. I can't tell you how many people, how many young people, how many people in general throughout the years have brought their friends to me and said, I want you to pray for them because they want to give their heart to the Lord. And I just want to look at them and go, why didn't you do that? You have the ability to pray for people to get saved. You don't need the preacher to do that. I'm not trying to get you out of a job, Pastor, okay? But you don't need the preacher to do that. You have the ability to lead people to the Lord. And that's really what I want to talk about here for the next few moments is finding lost treasures. One of the things about our youth camp theme kind of has an Indiana Jones feel to it, but it's called Virginia Church of God Youth Camp and the Journal of Lost Treasures. I'm going to spoil it for all of you young people that are coming to camp. This is that journal. It's the Journal of Lost Treasures. Everything that you need to succeed in life is between this leather cover. But see, if we're not careful, we're going to end up a lot like these people that have inherited junk from their relatives. You see, there's an entire generation of people who have no idea of the treasure that they have in their faith. What's the reason that that's happened is because we've prayed for them instead of prayed with them. We've told them instead of taught them. We've excluded an entire generation because they looked odd or they spoke differently instead of just including them. No cap. The old people were like, what? And you young people are like, don't do that. Don't do that. See, didn't God tell us, behold, I'm doing a new thing? See, the moves of God that we've seen in the past may not look like they used to look. They may look totally different. And the vessels that he uses might not look like us. And that's okay. And when God says that he's doing a new thing, that's the train that I want to hook my caboose to. I don't know about you, but that's what I want to be hooked to. I want to share something with you. Ella, could you bring me that? I want to share something with you that is valuable to me. Thank you. So for you young people, let me explain to you what this is. So when we were growing up, you either had a paper sack that you would carry your lunch in, or you had an aluminum box. This was our lunch box. Now, mine didn't look like this, but if you were to look this up on eBay right now, this is a Roy Rogers and Dell Evans Double R Ranch lunchbox. Now, this box right here, just this piece of metal, would bring in about, I think it was $198 the last time that I looked, okay? But if it has something additional to it, it almost doubles in value. Does anybody know what it is? That's right. The thermos. Guess what? What? Oh my gosh. It has the thermos in it. This makes it even more valuable if it has that in it. Now, I probably don't want to use that, but it's part of it, and it makes it much more valuable. Now, here's the other thing about it, which you probably can't see, but across the top here, it's got etched in it. Someone has etched the name Boyd in it, B-O-Y-D. Now, that doesn't mean anything to you, but it means a lot to me. You see, my wife's maiden name is Boyd, and this was her father's lunchbox. That, to me, makes it more valuable than any amount that I could get on eBay, because it's part of our heritage. Now, what I just did in the last 5 minutes is what we failed to do as a church for our young people. Not only did I tell you that that was valuable, but I also explained to you why it was more valuable to me. You see, your story and how God has worked through you makes your walk that much more valuable. It makes your story that much more valuable. We can tell people all day long that Jesus saves. We can tell people all day long that you can receive your healing in the mighty name of Jesus. But it takes it a whole nother step when you can relate it to your walk. How that God changed your life. How that God took your family situation and turned it around. How that God saved your parents. How that your grandparents were healed of cancer. How that you were healed of cancer. It makes it that much more important and that much more valuable. You see, we need to treat our faith the same way. We need to explain to our children, our youth, our new believers, that our beliefs are important. It's important for us to do that. It's important because that gives us the connection to the creator of the universe. And what will make it more important is when you relate it to your own walk. Your story is the gospel with skin on. It brings it to life. We can read this book all day long, but your story, young person, the way that God has changed your life is what will get your friends saved. It's what will change your schools. It's what will, those of you that live in homes where your mom and dad are not saved, that's how your parents get saved. It's this story with your skin on it. Now, I'm going to say something to you guys that's going to shock many of you in this room and those of you that are watching online. So get ready. Okay? Are you ready? You're going to die. You're going to die. Every one of you is going to die. It's the great equalizer. okay? It's something that we're all bearing, barring that the Lord doesn't come back. It's something that we're all going to have to deal with, some of us sooner than later. And sometimes it's not even your age that makes the difference. So I started exploring this whole idea of death. It can be kind of morbid at times. But here's what I found. There's a website that you can go to. You can put in all of your information. When you were born, what type of job you have, what's your weight, your height, are you a smoker, are you a drinker, all of those things like that, okay? You put that information in, and you hit the button, and it will actually tell you what day you're going to die. That's weird, isn't it? That's kind of sick, isn't it? Well, you know I had to try it. I did. So I wrote this down, okay? I wrote this down for posterior's sake, okay? All right? So according to this website, I'm not even going to tell you what website it is because I'm not promoting it. I'm going to die on Tuesday, June 30th, 2048. That's when I'm supposed to die, okay? They like to take it up a notch, and they tell you this. They tell you how many seconds you have left. So as of this morning, I was at 1,014,834,000 seconds left to live. And if that wasn't bad enough, I'm sure it was some kind of partnership that they have with some weight loss company, okay? But they like to put this little thing in red on there. And not only did it tell me when I was going to die, but it also told me, I can't believe this, they used the O word. They said that I was obese. Now, that offended me more than the fact that I knew when I was going to die. I don't need them to tell me that I'm overweight. I know it. I see myself in the mirror every day. But the bottom line is this, is that we're all going to die. As I said, it's the great equalizer. It's the honest truth. And if we're not careful, our churches are going to die with us. I sat there and I watched your young people today. You have more young people than people my age at the altar today. That does my heart good. You know what that tells me? That tells me the future of this church is all right. You're going to be all right. You see, seasoned saints, that's a kind way of saying old fogies. Seasoned saints, you have something that I need you to teach this generation. And young people, there's something that those individuals have to teach you. There's something that you need to learn from them. But the flip side of that, seasoned saints, is that there's something that our young people can teach us. You know what this generation is really good at that my generation is not so hot at doing? They are unbelievable at acceptance. They accept everybody. Now you may be, like me, you're probably thinking, yeah, that's the problem. I didn't say that they accept their lifestyle. I said they accept them. You see, that's one of the areas that the church has really failed throughout the years, is that we have not accepted people because we've associated their lifestyle with the ability to accept them. Just as a reminder, it's not up to us to convict. Did you know that? That's not our job. It's not our job to condemn. But what's happened is that we have not loved like we need to love. People that live in a different lifestyle than we do. Instead of loving on them, we've tried to convict them. We've tried to condemn them. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict. And it's nobody's job to condemn. But this generation, they are so good at accepting. And we can learn. Seasoned saints, I'm one of you. We can learn a lot by the idea of accepting. You see, it's this synergy that God has created for us to dwell together in. It's a glove for the hand, this partnership amongst generations. It's the glove for the hand. It's the hat for the head. It is the peanut butter to the jelly. That's what intergenerational ministry is all about. We can learn from each other. Here's what I mean by that. Is there anybody, don't answer yes, because you'll ruin my whole illustration if you do. Is there anybody here that just likes a plain old peanut butter sandwich? Don't raise your hand. There's nothing worse than an old dried up peanut butter sandwich. It's just nasty. You know when you're chewing it and it sticks to the roof of your mouth and you're just like, this is just crusty. I don't like this at all, okay? You know what makes it even better? Is the jelly. All right? It's the jelly. The jelly is what brings that, I hate this word too, that moistness in. Okay? It's what makes that sandwich that much better. And if you're saved, it's strawberry. We have to keep two kinds of jelly at the house because I won't eat the grape. All right? But that's what intergenerational ministry is all about. Learning from each other. And I'm not telling you that the older generation is the old crusty peanut butter. You use your imagination there. All right? But us together makes it that much sweeter and that much better. And we can learn so much from one another. So, how do we make this thing work? How do we make this thing called church work? Okay? I know that you've been wondering that since I got up here, okay? All right? Before I tell you how to make it work, can I tell you how we can, how you, if you don't like this church, I'm going to tell you how to make it fail. You're welcome, Pastor. All right. I'm going to tell you how to make it fail. And here it is. It's when we major in the minors. Hello. When we focus on the things that aren't that important anymore. You see, my generation, we lost my generation as a denomination because we focused on the things that don't matter. For instance, I grew up at a church where you were not allowed to wear shorts. Tell me how that gets me into heaven. We had a lady in our church one time when I was youth pastoring, and she says, you need to tell these young people to stop wearing shorts on Sunday morning. And I looked at her, and I said, sister, no, I almost said her name. And I said, sister, I'm just glad they're here. I'm just glad that they're here. And in fact, and I looked at her, and this is where I got righteously indignant. I probably shouldn't have. I had to ask for forgiveness later. I looked at her, and I said, you know what? The church that I grew up in and the church you grew up in, you would be cast out because you're wearing pants this morning. See, if we want this experiment of Christianity, which is much more than an experiment, if we want it to fail, then focus on the things that don't matter. Another way to make it fail is this, is that when we minor in the majors, when we choose not to focus on the things that are important. See, because let me tell you this, you can accept a homosexual and not accept their lifestyle. You can accept someone who is living with a person that they're not married with and not accept their current lifestyle. You can do that. That's what the church is called to do. You see, for far too long, we have created this church and it has become a club for members instead of a hospital for the sick. That's what the church is supposed to do. And that's why we as a church have failed in reaching people who don't believe like we believe. It's important, young person, that you understand that it matters what music you listen to. I don't even know why I said young people, because some of y'all out there are listening to stuff too. It matters what movies we watch. It matters what TV shows we watch. It's important. It matters. Now, how do we make this work? How do we make this thing called the church excel? I'm going to give you three things, and then I'm going to close it down. If you're taking notes, you'll want to write this down. But three ways to make this church have to bust open these walls, go to a new location. Here's how you do it. Are you ready for it? The first thing is love. That's pretty simple, isn't it? I mean, that's real simple. You can't get any simpler than that. The second thing is this. Love. That's pretty simple, I think. And the third thing, if you're writing it down. Love. See, that's what the church is called to do. Now, I don't know most of you, so I don't know if you're a guest or not. But I'm just talking to those that are regular attenders and that are members here on this one. The moment that a guest walks through your front door, they know if you love each other. And they know if you're going to love them. That's the number one person getter that church growth experts will tell you. Will I be loved here? And can I tell you that I feel that here? Pastor came up to me right before I came up and he said, I don't know what you're going to do. I said, I messed up. Because of that, because of the love that is in here, you are exactly what this community needs. And not only do you need to love the outsiders, but you got to love each other. Isn't it amazing how that we can worship next to people that we can't stand? Not here. Some of you just looked at your spouse. You're in bad trouble. You are in bad trouble, all right? But here's what John 13:35 says. It says, this is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples, when they see the love that you have for each other. Do you want to reach a generation? Love. Young people, do you want to be a part of a family? Then love. Do you want your church to grow? Love. And do you want to keep the church from dying? Love. It's really that simple.
And that wraps up this episode of the Covenant Fellowship Podcast. For more information about who we are, please visit us at cfbristol.com or check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. We hope that you have a blessed day. And as always, just like we find in Isaiah 60, verse 1, we hope you arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you.